The headlines this hour. Israel's military probes the failures of its attack on a Turkish-flagged ship carrying aid for Gaza. An Iranian university lecturer talks about how the U.S. abducted him in Saudi Arabia.
مسائل آزادی اسیران در سایر کشورها فعالیت میکنن. این درخواست رو دارم که موضوع من رو با جدیت پیگیری کنن.
10 more NATO soldiers are killed in Afghanistan as militants step up attacks. And the United Nations reiterates that the drone strikes by the US pose a major challenge to international law.
Well, it's 2:30 in the morning here in the capital, Tehran. You're watching another bulletin of World News on Press TV.
Thanks for joining us. Our top story this hour. The Israeli military has set up a team to investigate the failures of its attack on a Gaza-bound aid ship. The team is charged with studying failures and lessons of the assault on the Turkish-flagged vessel. The attack left 9 activists dead and several others are still missing. The investigation will take internal Navy testimonies into account and report its findings to Israeli military leaders in about a month. Israel has rejected demands from around the world for an international probe into the attack. Tel Aviv insists that it will conduct an investigation of its own. Well, Irish-American peace activist Ken O'Keefe was on board the Gaza Freedom Flotilla. Earlier, he told us he was physically and mentally abused while in Israeli detention.
Well, there's such a long list. Anything from being denied water, being denied food, being denied access to a lawyer, being denied access to your family to make a call, being lied to continuously, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, being intimidated, being stared at, having elderly people abused and disrespected, separated from their doctor. I mean, we can go on and on, being kicked, being beaten, having a dog bite you. That's not a complete list. There's much more, and it aside from, of course, being killed and seriously injured, all I can say is I really, 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 really am so happy that the world has finally, I think, starting to realize the power that we as people have. It's not up to anyone else. The United Nations would not be talking about a resolution to end the blockade if it weren't for what we did. The United States would not talk about the blockade being unsustainable if it weren't for what we did. None of this stuff would be happening. None of the governments of the world, not the United Nations, none of this would be happening except for those of us on that ship who were so honored and so blessed. Those of us on that ship applied the principles of Gandhi, and I challenge everyone in this world to look at what Gandhi said, because Gandhi made clear that between cowardice and violence, he would choose violence. We acted only in violence because of self-defense. That's it. If we weren't being attacked, there would have been no need for us to act in a violent way at all. None. We were defending our lives. We were defending that cargo. More importantly, we were defending the needs of the Palestinian people who have been ignored for decades. And we were defending the rights of people around the world and justice and peace in general. So we had every right to defend ourselves. And it's clear to anyone who's a thinking, moral person who is the murderers and who are the defenders of justice.
Veteran White House reporter Helena Thomas has retired. The move comes after some of her comments sparked criticism from the White House.
Any comments? Tell them to get the hell out of Palestine.
Ooh. Any better comments than that?
Helena is one. Remember, these people are occupied, and it's their land, not German, it's not Poland.
So where should they go? What should they do?
They go home.
Where's the home?
Poland.
So the Jews,
Germany.
You're saying Jews go back to Poland and Germany?
And America and everywhere else.
Well, the White House described the remarks as offensive and reprehensible. Thomas made the comments in a video interview with the website rabbilive.com. The reporter later posted a letter on her website saying peace will only come to the Middle East when all parties recognize the need for mutual respect and tolerance. The 89-year-old was the longest-serving reporter in the White House. She joined the United Press International in 1943. Thomas has covered every U.S. president since John F. Kennedy.
Now, Iranian University lecturer Shahram Amiri says he was kidnapped by the U.S. and Saudi Arabia.
من شهرام امیری کارشناس و محقق دانشگاه صنعتی مالک اشتر همکنون در شهر توسان در ایالت آریزونا کشور آمریکا هستم که در تاریخ 13 خرداد 1388 در یک عملیات مشترک بین تیم‌های ترور و ربایش سازمان اطلاعاتی آمریکا CIA و استخبارات کشور عربستان سعودی از شهر مدینه منوره دزدیده شدم.
Well, Amiri, who was abducted last year, said he had been put through intense torture and psychological duress during his detention in the US. The Iranian researcher said his abduction was aimed at putting political pressure on the Iranian government. Amiri called on the international community to help him gain his freedom.
از سازمان‌ها و بخش‌هایی که در ارتباط با حقوق بشر و در ارتباط با مسائل آزادی اسیران در سایر کشورها فعالیت می‌کنن این درخواست رو دارم که موضوع من رو با جدیت پیگیری کنن چرا که واقعا من به ناحق از یک کشور ثالث دزدیده شده و به کشور آمریکا آورده شدم و درخواستم این هستش که تمام تلاش و توان خود رو جهت آزادی من و برگشتن من به کشور عزیزم ایران انجام بدن.
Well, it seems to be another bloody day for foreign forces in Afghanistan. At least 10 NATO troopers, including 7 Americans, have been killed in separate incidents across the country. A Pentagon spokesperson says 5 American soldiers were killed in an explosion in eastern Afghanistan. The other 5 foreign troopers were slain in separate incidents in the rest of south. A total of 17 NATO troops have now been killed since Saturday. Meanwhile, 2 foreign contractors, including an American, were slain in an attack in the southern city of Kandahar. And the French president's office has reported the death of a non-commissioned officer. It has not confirmed whether it's one of the 10 NATO fatalities. Well, to speak more on the Afghan war, we're being joined by Khan Hallinan, a columnist with a Foreign Policy in Focus. Now, many thanks for joining us here on Press TV. Now, NATO says its main role in Afghanistan is to assist the government of the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan in exercising and extending its authority and influence across the country, paving the way for reconstruction and effective governance. Now, aren't issues like night raids and air raids, which have become the Afghan government's major concern, contrary to these stated objectives?
Well, I think what's happened is that the war is increasingly being run by the U.S. Special Forces. The U.S. Special Forces sort of work outside of the military lines, outside of the normal kind of rules, etc. They've long been associated with these kinds of, they call them night raids. Really what they are for the most part is assassinations. And there was a very similar a program during the war in Indochina called the Phoenix Program. This is pretty much a blueprint that was taken from them to be used. And the idea is that somehow they're going to, I don't know, assassinate their way to a point where the Taliban will give up. I think it's a myth. I think it's not going to happen.
All right. Now, as the U.S. scrambles to look for an exit strategy, we heard the U.S. Special Envoy Richard Holbrooke saying that a clear-cut military victory is not possible in Afghanistan. If it is as clear as that, then why continue with the military practices that have not worked for almost 9 years now?
Well, that's a $64,000 question. It's an idiom we use in the United States. There is no military victory. I think everybody realizes that. What their argument is that if they beat up on the Taliban will then come to the table in a weakened position, and therefore the Karzai government and the allies will be able to get a better deal. There's no indication, no history that that has worked in the past. There's no indication that the coming offensive at Kandahar will be any more effective than the offensive at Marja, which was a failure and which the U.S. says was a failure. So at this point, to continue a war, to essentially escalate the war in order to reach a peace, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And I think the opposite will happen.
All right. Now, among other objectives, ISAF says it is going to assist the Afghan government in the establishment of a secure and stable environment. Now, such aims should indicate that the Afghan government should be the base of any planning in the country. But now we have seen the government participation being excluded from many major decisions. Now, what does that spell out for a future independent Afghan state, in your opinion?
Well, I think the position, really, of the United States has been that the current Karzai government is too ridden with corruption and with their ties to the warlords and they're compromised and they don't really have much of a presence outside of the national capital and not completely throughout the entire national capital in Kabul. So I think what's happened is the United States is bypassing the government because they don't have any choice. But then, to go back to the argument that somehow we're going to seize these areas and then the Karzai government is going to come in and things are going to be stable, there's no evidence for that whatsoever. And the classic example was the recent Marja offensive. The U.S. went in, the Taliban didn't really stay around, they left. As soon as the U.S. troops sort of left the area, Taliban came back in again. There was no government. The Karzai government had no presence in Marja. It doesn't have any presence in Marja now. It's not going to have any presence in Kandahar. So this is just not the direction to go. The direction to go is to sit down with the people that you're fighting. And it means you just have to bite the bullet and talk to Mullah Omar and talk to the Haqqani group and talk to Hekmatyar and bring these people to the table and cut some kind of deal.
Right, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. That was Khan Hallinan, columnist with a Foreign Policy in Focus. Many thanks indeed for your insight here on Press TV.
And you're watching the news here on Press TV. Moving on with the news, the UN has criticized the U.S. over what it calls Washington's use of drones for targeted killings. Here's more.
The UN Special Rapporteur on Extrajudicial Killings, Philip Alston, says the use of unmanned aerial combat vehicles or
targeted killings pose a rapidly growing challenge to the international rule of law. While over 40 states already have this so-called drone technology, the United States is the dominant user of drones to kill.
The U.S. has been using drones to target alleged militants in Pakistan tribal regions near the Afghan border. The U.S. media recently ran a report saying the Obama administration has given the CIA the go-ahead to expand the drone operations in Pakistan. The report said the CIA has been authorized to target not only the quote big fish, but rank and file militants. Alston says if any state were supposed to go after what they see as terrorists, then the whole world would plunge into chaos.
The United States in particular argues that the, quote, law of 9/11, close quotes, enables it legally to use force in the territory of any other state against certain, quote, terrorists as part of its inherent right to self-defense. This proposition is justified on the basis that it is in an armed conflict with Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and so-called associated forces. If invoked by other states in pursuit of those they deem to be terrorists and to have attacked them, it would cause chaos.
Alston earlier gave his report on the U.S. use of drones in Pakistan to the UN Human Rights Council. He said the American airstrikes have resulted in the deaths of many hundreds of Pakistani civilians. Analysts believe that it's unlikely the U.S. heeds calls to end drone strikes in Pakistan, as it claims the unmanned aircraft are effective weapons against its enemies.
Well, you're watching World News here on Press TV. Time for a quick reminder of the headlines this hour. Israel's military probes the failures of its attack on a Turkish flagged ship carrying aid for Gaza. An Iranian university lecturer talks about how the U.S. abducted him in Saudi Arabia.
مسائل آزادی اسیران در سایر کشورها فعالیت میکنن. این درخواست رو دارم که موضوع من رو با جدیت پیگیری کنن.
10 more NATO soldiers are killed in Afghanistan as militants step up attacks. And the UN reiterates that the drone strikes by the US pose a major challenge to international law.